Okay, I think Bobby Lashley doesn't beat the Street Profits. Rey Mysterio maybe wins against the Dragon Lee and Santerna Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. What do you think?
I think it's the wrong show, bro.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Another Digital Citizen. It's Fool's Month and also WrestleMania this weekend. We will talk about one of those two things now. Happy Fool's Month.
Yeah, April Fool's Day month. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Is it a whole month thing, or is it just a day thing?
I think it's just a day. Yeah.
Is there another? There's no other holiday in April though, right? Or not that? Not no, like a major.
Not that
one,
I can
guess.
Think of. Yeah.
There's probably like little ones like pizza day, National Pizza Day, or something like that, right?
Right. I mean, May is Eurovision month, so I was thinking, yeah. It's maybe WrestleMania month more than Fool's Month.
Oh, Ramadan and Passover. Those are like the big ones that we're not thinking of. Ramadan.
Sorry, Ramadan?
What and is Passover.
That? Just...
You're like...
What is that?
It's an Islamic holiday.
Yeah.
Like one of the big ones.
I know. Happy... it's the first show in April, everybody. I am out of it today, but how are you?
I'm fine. It definitely felt like April. I busted out the sunscreen this week, I think, for the first time. Ooh. And out in the garden.
Send off some of that warm down here, please.
Or up there, or sideways there, around
sideways
the world there.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to. I don't know if that's how that works, but...
because it's so darn cold here still that I am not very happy to say it that way.
Did you know that on April 1st is also Saint Stupid Fun Day, apparently?
No. Is that a thing? Are you trying to trick me, Luke?
No. There's also... What? Today? Pony Express Day? Weed Out Hate Day? National Chocolate Mousse Day? National Film
what is
Score
chocolate
Day,
mousse?
Chocolate mousse, right. Like the dessert. You know, it's kind of like
the dessert.
It's like a really thick pudding, kind of.
Yes, yeah. I know what mousse.
Okay,
is.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't talking about like the animal, right? That could be confusing.
No, I was like mousse. That's weird. Yeah. What else is it?
Don't
is
go that? To work unless it's Fun Day. That's a pretty good day today.
Don't go to work
unless it's Fun Day. Yeah.
What the fuck? What kind of command is that?
National Tweed Day is today, also.
Tweed?
Yeah, like the fabric.
Yes, I know
what
tweed is. Yeah.
World Party Day and World Weed Out Hate Day. Okay, so.
Okay, cool.
There's a bunch more of them, but those are the interesting ones. National Walking Day, not really that interesting.
National Walking Day.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Oh my gosh, tomorrow's National Burrito Day and National Cordon Bleu Day. So that...
Oh.
It's like hard to decide which one you're going to eat that day. I don't...
It's National Get Fat Day.
Or I guess so. Things with massive amounts of cheese in them day. Yeah.
Wednesdays in my household is podcast day to me, 110% honest.
International Podcast Day, yeah.
Yeah. That's every Wednesday, though. Anyway, let's talk about someone that can't celebrate any holiday because he's in jail. Julian Assange wins temporary repetitive from extradition.
Extradition.
How do you say that? Extradition, thank you.
There you go. A British court ruled yesterday, that Julian Assange can't be extradited from the United States on espionage unless U.S. authorities guarantee he won't get the death penalty. That's pretty big, considering it's the U.S. two highest court judges said they would grant Assange new appeal unless U.S. authorities give further assurances within 3 weeks about what will happen with him. The ruling means the legal saga, which has dragged for more than a decade, will continue, and Assange will remain inside the prison, where he has been for 5 years. So this is kind of good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, I feel it's a bit of both. I think it's good that they are not like just caving in and giving him to America. But then again, yeah, we'll see.
It's good in that they are giving him a chance to appeal it. Also, possibly if they decide, we'll find out in the next few weeks. But at the same time, like you've said, you and I pretty much just believe the U.S. is happy with keeping him in that prison and letting him die. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that is probably my biggest problem, is that they don't really care where they have him.
They'd be happy to just keep pushing the trial longer and longer and longer so they eventually don't have to deal with it. Right.
They don't really have to do anything.
The U.S. Justice Department declined for comment Tuesday. Supporters say he is a journalist protected by First Amendment who exposed military wrongdoings by the U.S. There you go. Okay. Mm.
So, what do you think about that?
I think mostly the U.S. right now, I don't think that Biden definitely would want to deal with this currently during a election year and everything else. This would be really bad for the White House. But it's people have been calling, especially from Australia, for him to make this stop, but he's choosing not to do that. It would be. More people knew about this, it would be really bad politically, so I'm thinking for them it's better to not have anything happen, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I feel like Biden don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole because of the environment.
Somebody's going to be mad, right?
Sorry?
Somebody will be mad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what he does.
It doesn't really matter what he does. If he does anything, someone will get angry.
Yeah, and during an election year, that's kind of a big deal. Especially when he already has so many other things that are doing the exact same thing to him right now.
Yeah, exactly. I also find it interesting that it could become Trump's problem in the way that I don't know what Trump will do. I mean, he didn't do anything when he was president, so maybe he will just not like let it be him as well.
It was under Trump administration that he was taken out of that he was spied on in the embassy. Remember, the CIA under the Trump administration are the ones who were doing the worst things to Julian Assange before he was arrested. Mm-hmm. So I think it probably would just be worse if Trump was put into office because he has less care for the situation. Right. And he because of Russiagate, has a reason to make an example of him to say, like, oh, look, it wasn't me. I wasn't involved in this. So, like, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, talking about Russia, is there anything that we can't blame Russia for? Like, for example, if the wrong movie had won Oscars, that would have been Russia's fault. If Roman Reigns wins at WrestleMania, that will be Russia's fault. If Eurovision... if Israel is in Eurovision, that's Russia's fault. Is there anything else we can
Princess
blame them for?
Kate faked a photo of herself with Photoshop. Oh, wait, we're going to talk about that later. But
that is my theory. I'm sticking to it.
The mysterious Havana Syndrome ailment that has afflicted U.S. diplomats and spies across the world, and may be linked to an energy weapon. May be linked to an energy weapon wielded by the Russian military intelligence unit. An insider media group reported U.S. intelligence investigations findings last year found that it was very unlikely a foreign adversary was responsible. This was first reported by the U.S. embassy officials in Cuba in 2016, which we covered at the time. But an insider, a Russian-focused investigative media group based in Latvia. So this is a group that specifically their whole focus is what is Russia doing bad. So they kind of have a bias right there to begin with.
No, whatever do you mean? Look, a group that's focused on what Russia does, that is a little
It's
biased.
A Russian-focused investigative group.
What?
Right. They've just focused on Russia, investigating Russia. So
why do you think that? That is biased.
They just have, you know, they could have, there's some confirmation bias even with their evidence they brought forward, but
exactly.
Members of the Russian military, this is what they say. They say that members of Russian military intelligence, a unit known as 29115, had been placed at the scene of the reported health incidents. A years-long investigation in collaboration with 60 Minutes in America and Der Spiegel in Germany also reported that senior members of the unit received awards and promotions for work on work related to developing non-lethal acoustic weapons. That is... This is all just complete. So they were there. They saw one guy happen to be there near one of these attacks at the time, and then they also got awards for something. Those Russian has denied any involvement. It is said there were likely attacks 2 years earlier than the Havana 2016 attacks in Frankfurt, Germany, where U.S. government employees stationed at the consulate were knocked unconscious by something akin to an energy beam. Okay. So the evidence they have here, there was a guy who was in this unit who happened to be near one of these attacks one time.
It feels... Have you ever played the game Clue?
It's a little... Yeah, it's a little confirmation-y bias where they're like, look... They're trying to find evidence that shows the thing that they already have decided is the bad guy.
It was
right.
Russia in the library with the candlestick. It feels a little like that.
And the other thing is that this unit worked on and received awards for working on non-lethal acoustic weapons. So that's all the evidence they have. It seems very circumstantial, and people are running with it as though it was...
A tiny bit, yes.
Not only is it the evidence circumstantial, if we're just going off the evidence, but the group that's gathering the evidence is also biased. And everything up till this point tells us that it's a huge lie, so there's...
Yes.
Maybe we're also going in with a bit of bias, right? But not in the same way.
No, we have the bias in a good way. That
we have the bias, the bias of evidence that we've gained over the last 8 years covering
doing this podcast.
Right.
Exactly. We have the bias of knowing what the fuck is going on. Oh, gosh. It's such a silly story as well. It's just like there's absolutely no evidence for this. It's kind of funny. I will send you this after we're done with the show, if I remember.
Okay.
But Destiny was pushed in the corner and got very, very angry when his best friend was like, "Hey, this is totally true." And Destiny is like, "No."
About this exact thing? Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he say? He thinks it's not because of all the evidence previous to this, obviously.
Sorry?
Why does he think it's not true?
He doesn't believe that Russia has the capacity or this has ever happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a 60-minute interview with some guy about it also, which they were part of the investigation, so.
Ah.
Right. Cool. He's like a former... senior military official in the U.S. military. He's not a current military official, and they interviewed him, and he was like, I think it's probably Russia. Yeah, so there's that.
Okay. Let's talk about something completely else. Oregon. I know someone in Oregon. I like someone that lives in Oregon. I just can't put my finger. Who is it again?
Got me.
His name starts with L. Forget it. I will maybe remember it. But their governor signs a law recrimination drug possession. That is not good, is it?
It's weird because it's never happened before. Even in our doc, it wants me to. It's got like a little red line, like I spelled recriminalization wrong because it wants me to autocorrect it to decriminalization because it's like, what does that even mean? Because it's never happened before. But Oregon's Democratic Governor Tina Kotek on Monday signed a law in a bill that recriminalizes possessions of small amounts of drugs, ending the first in the nation experiment to decriminalize. The new law rolls back a 2020 voter-approved measure by making so-called personal use possession a misdemeanor punishable by 6 months in jail. It also established ways for treatment to be offered as an alternative to criminal penalties by encouraging law enforcement agencies to create programs that would divert people to addiction and mental health services. In the letter, Kotek said the law's success will depend on deep coordination between the courts, police, prosecutors, defense attorneys, and local health providers. So the law directed hundreds of millions of dollars of the cannabis tax revenue towards addiction services, and it seems mostly to be that the right-leaning side of Oregon is not happy with the homelessness and seeing people do drugs, homeless people doing drugs like on the street when it,
right.
Because it's legal for them to do that. And so there's a lot of people upset about, cause there is a serious increase in homelessness also, especially in like the urban areas of Oregon. And people are not happy about that at all. And that's a lot of what this has to do. It's not like an increase in crime or anything. It's mostly that people don't want to see people do drugs just out on the streets.
In front of them.
Yeah. Right.
I can understand that, but it's kind of like...
Or their kids. Yeah.
I can understand it.
Right. You don't want to be walking through the park with your kid and then there's some dude shooting up heroin, I guess. Definitely understand that. But then give them places to go and do that, right?
Exactly. It feels a little like the wrong way of going. It feels like, we want to take part of this problem and fix it. We're going to fix it the wrong way.
I think the problem was there just wasn't enough coordination between, like she said, between like the courts and the police and then mental health providers, as well as like probation officers and things like that.
Mm.
Like that coordination was never set up well enough to make the thing work. I think that was the biggest problem, probably, but it's going to be cited by other, you know, states that, this will never work.
Exactly.
Out.
And right. That is kind of my biggest problem with it as well, that it kind of gives, the excuses, definitely when, it's a Democrat that's doing this. I find it weird that it's a Democrat doing this, like, if you said this was a Republican, I wouldn't be that fucking surprised, but it feels a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's, especially for this governor, because she's very, very liberal. What it just shows is that it actually must have really been failing hardcore, that to the point where she was like, I can't have this on my record if I'm going to want to be elected again, possibly. That has something to do with it. Right. Yeah,
as an Oregonian. Yeah, let's go with that.
Sure.
What do you feel about this?
I think it more affects people in, like I said, the major urban areas. so it doesn't really affect me that much. I think it could have been done well, and there are certain elements within the state who didn't want it to go well on purpose so that they could point to it and say, look, that's bad, and exactly. attack the Democratic half of Oregon, which in 2020, it was 58% supported this bill. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. Anyway, it's not that long time ago. We had the primaries. Do you remember when it was Trump against Haley in the state? No, I think Trump wasn't allowed to be there. And Haley was on
the Nevada. And right.
Nevada, yeah. And who won that? Wasn't it, like, literally anybody else or someone like that?
I think it was, like, there was, like, a no vote thing or something
right.
in that way. But there was also the Michigan vote, which was against Biden, the Palestine, like, kind of... they voted not for Biden, but they chose to vote for... what was... they had a write-in specific name for it. It was, like, not accredited or something like that. There was another
right.
protest vote in another state. It's kind of a thing that's happening in multiple states now.
But there's a new presidential candidate that I think will maybe get her more votes than you would think. Who is it?
Texas voters may have another choice for president when they head to the ballots in November. In addition to Joe Biden and Donald Trump, voters could also see an option for literally anybody else on the ballot. ahead of the upcoming election, a seventh grade math teacher and U.S. Army veteran from North Richland, Texas, has legally changed his name to literally anybody else. So it's not just like... It's not just a choice of literally... It's a guy named literally anybody else. So is that like his first, middle, and last name, I'm assuming? There's a picture of the ID, so yeah, literally anybody, and then his middle name there is Else, yeah.
Nice.
Okay. With the intention of running for president as an independent, multiple outlets, including NBC 5 Dallas-Fort Worth and ABC 8, he said, for too long, Americans have been a victim of... it's political parties putting party loyalty over governance. Together, let's send a message to Washington and say, you will represent the people or be replaced, he said on his website. Okay. Mm. I mean, it's
literally anybodyelse.com or something. That would be funny.
Yeah, do they have his website here? They must, right? The website. It's got it right here. Literallyanybodyelse.com. Yeah.
Yay! I'm good at guessing.
It's the most basic-ass webpage I've ever seen. But you're not going to spend a shit ton of money on this gag.
No.
It's just it's a goof, right? Yeah.
Yeah. How much does it cost to, put your name as down in the...
I think you just need signatures.
Like
okay. It depends on the state, because every state is different.
Right.
But to get... yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't actually have to have money in most states. You need to have signatures to get yourself on the ballot. There is, like, certain parts of getting on other states' ballots instead of just being on Texas that gets more complicated. But if he's just in Texas, then it's probably just getting a certain amount of signatures, is my guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Trond is going to ask a good question when it comes to this. How did we end up like this?
Hello, this is Trond with Trond Tells the Truth. How did we end up with two presidential candidates who are not very bright in their head? Two presidential candidates who need fucking special help. How did we end up in a generation of young people who don't want young people to represent them? They don't vote. So who gives a flying fuck? In the beginning of the 90s, I had some hope. I had some hope that the new generation would take over, because the 68ers were very progressive in their thoughts and ideas and so on. But when they did come to power, what happened? Yeah. Conservatism, conservatism, conservatives again. Bill Clinton and Joe Biden then was conservative fucking shitheads. Our only thing, we end up being as enthusiastic about a candidate to just, oh, who is the less worst candidate? Because when Al Gore was coming to be a president candidate, I was not aroused. I'm just like, oh shit, this guy really gonna knock our socks off. No, he was a fucking conservative with a soft touch. Yeah, if you don't believe me, look what fucking hearings he did in the 80s with his fucking bullshit wife Tipper Gore. Now we have a presidential collection again. Two fucking conservative candidates and two fucking too old, so they should be retired. This is getting fucking embarrassing. Some of the politicians are so fucking old that they don't even know what fucking internet is. Maybe they still use pen and paper when they sit in Congress. It's fucking embarrassing. There are some young conservatives, they just look like they've been fucking their grandmothers. Not very impressive whatsoever. But this is young people's fault, you know? And we're all up in another election where we have to vote for the lesser shit. Well, drown in shit or swim in piss. Well, for Europe's sake, I hope swim in piss. Because if Trump will be president, you have fascism, and we will have fascism with Russia fucking coming in our borders. Yeah. Well, I hope you really like that, you study seminar fucking idiots in the United States. Hope you like it, because that is a fucking result. But how did it end up? Were there no young people during the way who had a fantastic ideas? Bernie Sanders, even him, he was more fucking progressive than the fucking young people who should be progressive. You would have rather have him than normal fucking young people in your age to represent you. It's fucking embarrassing. It's going to keep on being fucking embarrassing to the fact that you end up with so much shit that you cannot take tens of years and maybe your grandchildren maybe can solve it. You have created a corporate America. Corporations are now the new fucking state. The state is dead, democracy is dead, and you end up with two fucking candidates. I hope you're fucking happy. This is not a happy message, so maybe you learn something. You probably don't, because I've been speaking about the same terms for 8 years in this podcast. This was Tron with Tron Tells the Truth.
That was Tron telling the truth. Thank you, as always, Tron.
Thank you, Tron. TV.
TV. TV.
Let's talk about something. There wasn't that much TV last week, but we did see The Ark together, which is a Paramount Plus show. Cartoon, animated cartoon show based off of the video game, which I think was called The Ark.
Question mark? Yes.
I think there was like a surname to the video. I'm just thinking of the sequel. Right, okay. Yeah, it was a strange. It was animated very 90s animation style. It felt like late 90s, maybe even mid 90s style, which I thought was interesting because then right after we watched that, I think it's Disney. I don't know if it's out or not, but I saw a commercial for X-Men 97, which also has a similar, like, 90s animation style. Is it, like, a trend or something that we're seeing happen here?
Well, I guess I can talk about one of the shows I saw this week. I saw X-Men 97.
Sure, well, let's give the Ark a score. I mean, the Ark wasn't that great. It was a little bit generic of a storyline, and the animation was pretty standard, kind of old-looking, but if you like that old-looking style, I guess, I don't know, I'd give it a 4, probably. I don't know.
I gave it a 5. I thought it was very in the middle, very cocky-cooker, as they call it.
There were some interesting deaths in the first, like, 10 minutes of the show that, like, oh, this looks like it's going to be a main character, and then they just kill him off, kind of Game of Thrones style. Right,
yeah. Very much.
Yeah. All right, X-Men.
X-Men 97. Yeah, so I have to be 100% honest there. I have never, ever seen X-Men, the animated show. Have you?
When I was a kid, yeah. It was on Fox.
Yeah.
I didn't ever see it. Like, I only saw it when I would go to a friend's house before soccer practice. Because I didn't have Fox as a kid, but I remember seeing it, you know, at other people's houses.
Right, and this is a sequel to that, so what I'm saying is that I felt a little bit lost.
Oh, it's a storyline sequel, okay.
As I understand it,
sure, yeah. And so I had a hard time following it, or?
Yeah, I also didn't especially like it. I mean, I thought it was totally fine, but it very much tries to look like a 90s show.
Well, yeah, that's what they're going for, yeah.
And I don't know if I like that, to be honest. It's like, if you want to tell a story, that's kind of like you have to be that kind of thing. But it felt like they were really, really, really nostalgia baiting. And I don't especially like it when shows are trying to bait me that hard.
Well, I mean, it's just called X-Men 97, so you did know what you were getting into, but...
Well, I didn't know it was a sequel, even.
Oh, but I mean, like, that it was going to be 90s-esque, is what I meant.
Yeah, but, like, everything that could be set in the 90s could be done in a different way. Like, when I saw it, I didn't even know it was animated, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw a commercial for it, and they were very... In the ad, they made a very large point of, like, this is just like the 90s show. It definitely was going for a nostalgia bait. They weren't, like, trying to hide it or anything, I guess was my point.
Right.
I still think
it was interesting enough. I mean, I will give it a 5.5, I guess. It got me interested in watching the old animated show. And, like, I mean, it's 4 seasons, so I don't know why I never seen it, but I have.
You want my conspiracy of why they're making all these shows that look like they're animated in the 90s?
Sure.
Because they have a lot of information to input into an AI from the 90s cartoon era that would make a really good, easily made cartoon just by pumping it into Sora. You see what I'm saying?
That's a good conspiracy. I like it.
I think it could be true, honestly. my turn. Me. Right.
Yes.
Oh, let's talk about one of the big shows. I think it was both on both of our top fives, right? Three Body Problem? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it was your number one and my number three of last year's.
Yeah, this came out...
Or this year's, sorry.
This came out last week on Friday. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman who starts hallucinating, I guess we'll say, a countdown, and it's showing her something, but she doesn't know what it's showing her, and she gets met up by this secretive, angelic type character, I'll call it, without destroying anything. Yeah. Like a guardian angel type thing. Right.
Exactly.
And then there's a detective played by Benedict Wong who's trying to investigate these murders, and it all starts to connect. And, yeah, that's about it. Based on a book, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting, very... it makes you think a lot. It's got a little religion-y end to it, but it's also kind of sci-fi, right? Yeah.
Hmm. I'm very glad that the positive look is going first, because guess what? I hated this show with passion. I thought it is one of the worst shows I watched this year. And I know I'm probably the only one in the universe that didn't like this, but I don't fucking care.
It's got like 8s, I think, in scores. Let me look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it has super scores. I know I'm the only one.
7.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, 88%. Yeah. So, yeah, it's around like a 7.5, 8. I would give it a 7. Some of the acting was a little over the top, but it is like a crazy sci-fi show, so some of the over the top kind of makes sense in that they're looking at something over the top, or like, what's the word for it? Reacting to something that's already over the top, so their reaction isn't as crazy to me. But yeah, there were certain acting things that maybe weren't great. Other than that, I liked the story a lot.
Cool. I thought it was extremely shallow. I think the characters didn't get to breathe in the story.
I can see that.
So I have both read the book, seen the original 60-episode Chinese show, and also, like, yeah, I know a lot of this. So my expectations of going into this was pretty high. I mean, of course it was high. It was my number three on the list. And there was... I'm not super surprised that this is made by the same people that made Game of Thrones, because it felt very Game of Thronesy in the way that they had absolutely no respect for the material they were making the TV show from. It almost felt like it was kind of like, hey, we are doing whatever we want to do with the source material. I couldn't lay that away. Like, the main character from the book is not in the fucking TV show. Like, that's one of the weirdest things about it. And also, I think the time jumps in this is... I think it's a better show when they are in the old time and then in the new time. Some of the acting was terrible, I thought. Personally, I did not like this. It gets a 4.5 out of me. That's the highest I can give it.
I think you're coming in with some serious bias there, but sure. It sounds like all the negatives you pointed out were comparing it to the other material. So if anybody hasn't seen that, then maybe...
Okay, yeah. So I said it was extremely shallow. It is extremely shallow. I think it has bad characters. I think it has bad acting. I found it boring. Like that has nothing to do with the book or the other show. I didn't like the other show.
The other show? The Chinese show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't like that either.
Maybe you just don't like the show then. Okay, your turn? Yes, your turn.
Okay, let's talk about something else I'm a little less angry about. Let's go Testament, the story of Moses on Netflix. A Turkish documentary about the Testament of Moses. It's made with Turkish help. It's not in Turkish. Everything is in English. very interesting. It's a 3-episode thing. And what I like most about it is that they don't just like talk about the Christian Moses, but they also talk about like Moses in the Quran and for the Jews. And like, yeah, they interview experts in the field, and yeah, it was very, very interesting. I'm going to give it a 6. Yeah.
Okay. They must have been long episodes, or just like normal hour episodes, or?
It was pretty long.
I would assume there's a lot to tell there. Speaking of Jesus, the Baxters on Amazon.
I'm so happy that you're going to talk about this.
Possibly one of the worst shows of this year. I think definitely the worst show I've seen this year.
It is the worst show I've seen this year.
When I said possibly, I mean like, because there's other shows that are going to happen after this month, after this week. Yeah. But currently, right now, this is, I mean, if you thought Three Body Problem was bad, Fro, I don't know where scores are going to go for this one, because...
Terrible.
It's a sitcom, drama sitcom type. It's a drama about a family. The only like description I've seen that kind of tells you about it is like it's a family, a big Christian family, who it shows you the stories of like the mom and the dad, and then there's this daughter and then the son, and you're seeing each of their individual stories, and then the family coming together to like help each other get through these problems. One of them. The wife is getting a not getting a divorce, but her husband's cheating on her, but she still wants to be with him because God right. will fix their marriage.
God wants it. Yeah.
God wants them to be married, even though he's cheating on her with his student. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he's a college professor.
Is amazing.
I can't believe the direction they went with that storyline. Like, he's not the bad guy in that. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell?
But we have to talk about the release of this. It's so fucking weird. They didn't come with one season out. They came out with three seasons.
Yeah, and so all weird. At once. Well, yes. I assume they've just... My guess is this was maybe like a Christian DVD set or something that has been out in like that community for a while and then just got added to Amazon, possibly. You know what I'm saying?
That could be. I'm so happy that you're talking about that.
There's one famous... the dad is definitely a famous actor, Ted McGinley. I've seen him in things for sure. And nobody else really is. But the main dad actor is... What's he been in? Married with Children? Oh, yeah, he was the neighbor. Yeah. The neighbor guy from Married with Children. That's definitely the place I know him the most from. He's been in a lot of fucking things that were like Christian movies. Is he in the... Oh, we should say there was the Baxters from the 70s, apparently, which was a show.
It does nothing I think, to do with that?
No, I think he might have been the child from that show I'm seeing.
Ah, okay.
So he's the connection to the original show. He was one of the kids in that original 1970 show, and now he's the dad. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. It is... The dialogue's terrible. The storyline's awful. Like, how many times just in the first episode did they say, I want you to pray for me?
Oh my God.
If you want a good drinking game, if you want a good drinking game, watch two episodes of the show, and every time they pray or ask somebody to pray for them, you drink. You would be so
You're
sloshed.
Killing people, Luke. Of alcohol poisoning.
I'm causing an epidemic of alcoholism now.
Oh, that is so funny. You know, I hated this with a passion. I just have to say, it is one of the weirdest things I have ever seen, because I was like, why the fuck is there three seasons of this? And I watched two episodes and I was like, I'm flabbergasted over how incredibly bad this is. I'm going to give this to three body problem. If this and three body problem was in contention of like getting an Oscar,
or an Emmy, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, or an Emmy. I would know what show I would give it to. Oh God, I hate it. Every single fucking second of this show.
It is unwatchable. It is literally an unwatchable television. Like, if you've seen Christian movies, you know the acting style, you know the dialogue choices, you know, like, you've seen Christian movies, you know, this is like the first time I've ever seen that same formula, but translated over to a TV show, right? I guess so, yeah.
I love that.
I can't believe you kind of have to see it for the storyline of her getting cheated on and not wanting to leave her husband. It's pretty funny. I give this a zero though. Definitely
I give it a zero as well.
I think this might be my first TV show zero of the year, probably.
That's funny. Okay, I'm going to jump to a show that I also didn't really care for, but we saw together, A Gentleman in Moscow.
On Paramount Plus, also.
That I thought was with Kenneth Branagh, because he kind of looks like Kenneth Branagh.
I guess in this outfit and like a mustache combo, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's Ewan McGregor, I think? Yes.
Yes, it's Ewan McGregor with a Kenneth Branagh mustache from Hercule Poirot. But yeah, it's about Count Rostov that finds himself stuck in Moscow in 1922, and he's on the wrong side of history, to say it mildly.
Right, the Leninist government is taking over the country, right?
Yes, and the Communist Party agrees to keep him alive, but he's never allowed to set a foot outside of the hotel he is until he dies, and that is more or less the show.
Yeah. He's stuck in this hotel and he wants to escape, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, this was boring.
I think it was well acted, and some of the, I think the costume choice, the set design, good.
Yeah.
Acting, set design, good. Some of the dialogue, silly. It's very propaganda-y, a little bit.
Very.
I don't know who the show is made for, right? Like
people that hate Russia.
I guess again. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this weird fantasy piece about what it would have been like if you were a European stuck in a communist country that was going in the wrong direction, a totalitarian. Right. It's like this weird piece meant to make you feel like, oh, this is what it would be like for you if communism happened, right? That's what it felt like, exactly. More than anything.
Yeah. Can I just say that it is kind of interesting and not at all irritating that no one fucking speaks Russian in this show, but everybody has this very, very English accent.
There's one guy who's supposed to be a Russian guy who has, he's not
why
even...
Why me, mate?
He's not even, he doesn't even have, a proper, southern English accent. It's, Cockney accent.
Cockney.
And he's supposed to be a Russian guy. There's no... They don't even... It's not that they don't speak Russian. They don't even have Russian accents. Right.
No. But, I think I'm going to give this 4. I mean, it's very boring and about absolutely nothing, but the acting is pretty good.
Yeah, and the set design, but, like you said, who is this made for? I don't know who's watching this other than just xenophobes who hate Russia, I guess. A 4, I think you're right. A 4, right? Yeah.
Mm.
Just to give it a little something, because it's not...
It's not bad.
Right, it's just boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something very similar to that show, actually, but in a totally different war. We Are the Lucky Ones. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is about Poland during the 1940s when the Russians are overtaking Poland. It's literally almost the same show, except for in a different time period.
Super boring.
With a woman instead of a man, right? And the Russians instead of the Soviets.
And this was on Netflix, right?
Hulu is what I have it as.
Oh, Hulu. Oh, okay.
But it might have been on some other channel, because Hulu, they get all their shows from other places a lot of the time. But it might have been a Hulu original. Like I said, it's about a woman who's trying to escape Poland somewhat, or a family more. There's a bunch of different people involved in this. Slowly, the whole country is being overthrown by the Nazis, and it's interesting in episode 1, the way they show, it slowly starts to progress. It's not like all of a sudden it's just Nazi Poland. It's very slow progression of this person's leaving, and then she sees a guy just walking down the street with a gas mask, and it's like, wait, that's weird, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And then a guy's getting thrown out of the library and it's being overtaken, and then it's like a slow progression. That interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the acting's not very good in this, though.
Well, Luke, I saw a PBS thing this week. Dante's Inferno to Paradise. It is by a very renowned filmmaker called Rick Burns. And he talks about Dante Alighieri and his soaring masterpiece, Divine Comedy. And it is really, really, really good. Superb acting, very PBS, but extremely done in a good way. I love Dante's Inferno. I think you kind of have to have somewhat interest in that kind of era as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from the late 1200s, early 1300s, somewhere. And I really liked it. I'm going to give it an 8, actually. Very much recommend it if you're at all interested in that story.
Okay, did you give it a score? Sorry, I was looking
at something. Yeah, I said 8.
Okay, sorry, I was looking at something else.
Totally okay.
Let's see, let's go Magic Prank Show on Netflix.
Oh my god, is so bad.
It's basically Mark Rober's Revengeeners, but with magic instead of science, right? Because Revengeeners was like
bad.
The same kind of concept where we asked this guy, hey, I mean, Revengeeners was also bad.
Well, this was worse.
I think they were equally as bad, actually.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think so. I think they had the same kind of concept where they ask somebody, they take a bunch of people and they find one person who's got a beef with somebody, whether it be like their brother, their sister, their significant other, I don't know, their grandpa. It doesn't really matter who they have some kind of beef with them, and they say, oh, I want to prank this person, and they go out, and in this case, this magician and his group of magician friends prank them. In the Mark Rober case, it's Mark Rober and a bunch of his science friends. It's the same show. It's the same show. Yeah.
You know, it felt very uninspired.
We've seen it a million times. It's just,
yeah,
this one was done with a magician who I've never heard of. That's all. That's the only difference, really.
Oh, you've never seen this guy. Okay.
Maybe I have, but not enough that I know his name or have any. I wouldn't know what something else he's been in. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. What
did
you think?
You give this? Oh, I thought it was really stupid, extremely bad, with people that couldn't act for shit.
Yeah, there was definitely some acting when it's supposed to be a reality show also. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, the scenarios they put them in was so absurdly bad.
I think that it was better than the Kevin Hart reality show with Nick Cannon, where they pranked people. But other than that prank show, I don't think it was... It was pretty much on the level of most prank shows. I give it a three.
Yeah, I give it a 3 as well.
Okay.
What I did not give a 3 is Parrish. Did you watch this?
Oh, yes. The first episode's out. It was an hour-long episode. What was this on? AMC, I believe.
AMC, yeah.
Yes. It felt like an AMC show.
It's an adaptation of a British series called The Driver.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
I don't think I did, but maybe no. I heard that somewhere.
But it is with, and I am never going to say his name correctly.
Chicken guy from Breaking Bad.
Thank you, chicken guy from Breaking Bad.
Yep.
That is his name.
I mean, that's what everybody would know him as anyways. Like, even if you said his name, more people are going to know him as the chicken guy from Breaking Bad.
I agree. No, yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying that is kind of funny. But yeah, no, he's a good man, but he has a kind of a troubled past. And when his son is murdered, he goes back to his old habit, sending him on a quest with
he's also going to lose his house. Like, his mortgage is going under and his business is failing, so he needs to go back to a life of crime to pay for that stuff also.
I very much like this. Very good, very, very interesting. Good acting, of course.
Action movie. It felt more like an action movie than a TV show. It felt very dark, kind of AMC, Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, dark, like in the cinematography style is what I mean. Yeah,
it made me interested in watching the original as well. So actually, I'm going to do that. I gave this it's just one episode, so it's kind of hard to judge. But 8.5.
I had one problem with it is that. Well, it is based off of a British thing, but it felt like an American show that we saw recently, which was called The Cleaner, which is about a woman who has a troubled past, who used to work for the cartel, but now is on the street and narrow, but then gets sucked in by a gang. And literally, the garage scene at the end of episode one of that show and the garage scene at the end of episode one of this episode are the same scene, practically. So I had a little problem with the originality of it, I guess, in the sense of, like, American television, but really well acted, really well shot, so I'd give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. My turn? All right, let's talk about some Lisa Vanderpump updates, because there's two Vanderpump shows to talk about this week for some reason.
And, how is that possible?
Right. They put him out... It's kind of weird to put him out 1 week after another, but the first one that came out last week was on Bravo, and they're on two totally different networks also. That's weird. Bravo... That's
even more weird, isn't it?
The Bravo one's called The Valley, and this is more of a spin-off than the other one, which the other one actually has Lisa Vanderpump. This one doesn't even have her. She's not even in the show. The Valley is characters who were in other Vanderpump shows when they were younger, and now they've grown up, and they're older-ish, I guess, maybe? Maybe not physically they're older, mentally they're all still, like, 8. They're all still, like, 12, it seems like. Or maybe more like 16, 15, 16. All right, I'll give them that.
I feel you're being kind when you say 15, 16, but yeah.
Sure. They have the mentality of, like, a freshman in high school is my point, right. But they all have kids now, and they live in the valley in L.A., hence the name of the show. And it's mostly, like, them growing up and, like, living as parents and, like, learning to be adults, kind of. But it reminds me of that show that came after Jersey Shore. Like, after Jersey Shore ended, the most famous person on the show was Snooki. So she got her, spin-off show, I guess... Pauly D also was like, he got spin-off shows. Those were like the two biggest ones, right? But the first spin-off show...
It was in WrestleMania, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she was definitely even more famous than Pauly D. She got a spin-off show first, which was her when she had a kid. And then JWoww was also having a kid, or had a kid. And it was like, you went from them being Jersey Shore people, who are like... the most out of control, drinking all the time, they don't have a care, like, about anybody or anything in the world, to now all of a sudden they're settled down with children. It's very similar to that feeling of going from the Vanderpump Rules world to being like, oh, now we just live in suburbia and we have to worry about decorating for the baby shower. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it felt very strange, and one of the things I hated the most about it was that it kind of, like, felt like you had to watch every other show in this, like,
kind universe.
Yeah. And it's like, it had more or less nothing to do with the original. So, yeah, no, I hated this with a passion. I thought the other one was better, to be fair. I think I land on a 3.
Okay. There's nothing happening in the show. Like, literally, there's no plot line. There's no, like, actual story happening. There's no actual reason to make the show other than, hey, look, this is what these characters are doing now. This show is equivalent to right after a movie's over and they have the text that tells you what each character's doing. And except they made an entire reality show about it. So I give it a 2. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go down a character and say 2.5, actually.
Okay.
But we also watched another Vanderpump show this week. Look, what was that called?
Vanderpump Villa. And this one was on Hulu.
This is such a weird show because I recognized a lot of people from the Vanderpump universe again, and they pretend they have never been on TV before. I find that funny, especially Emily and someone else that I super recognized.
A couple of them, they do flashback things where they're like, show you, okay, these two were in a relationship. They don't really ever show you, like, a full clip of them, like, But it shows you a black and white image kind of showing you the past kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But they were pretending that they had never been on another reality show before. I don't know why, but... yeah, this is the Vanderpump universe equivalent to the yacht show, only that it's on land.
Under the deck?
Under the deck.
Or yes, something like
it's
that.
Under the deck, on land in France in a villa with Vanderpump in it. That's more or less it, right?
Oh, below the deck. Below deck.
Below deck.
There
yes.
you go. Yeah, it's pretty much that. It's... Like you said, it's a spin-off of those shows in that... in the Vanderpump shows in that... a lot of the original Vanderpump stuff is, like, based around the bartenders and stuff who are working at her restaurants. And that's what this is, except it's just in France. There's one... We thought it was funny because she's like, I'm going to create this amazing, like, French experience for people to come and experience the wonders of this French villa. Everybody on staff, except for the chef, aren't French. They're all American. But they were a boyfriend and girlfriend. So, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
The two only French people that have, like, even French accents are the two chefs. And he's only sees the actual guests, like, once in the whole episode.
Yeah, he's also the most charismatic and the most nice one in the show.
Seemingly so far. I have a feeling he's going to snap at somebody and just go off on them at some point, right? But
yes, because he's actually there to work. The other people are there to be famous.
Yeah, and he's just going to get annoyed that they're not actually doing their jobs and things. It's a little different than the... It is kind of like the Below Deck show in that they're all stranded there because they are American, right? If they were all French, then they could be like, fuck this, I'm leaving.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that on a boat either.
I had very much fun about this.
Okay.
What did you think?
I mean, it's like a middle-of-the-road crappy reality show. At least it has a purpose and a meaning. Like, there's a storyline happening. We're trying to create this new business where the Valley, there's no actual, like, what is the purpose of that show? It doesn't have like an ending, like there's no like goal to it other so
this had definitely a goal. I'm actually going to be very nice and say 4.
I'm gonna say a 3.5, but I think you're on track there. Yeah, there's some interesting characters. There's also some seriously unlikable characters, but that's important in a reality show. You need the hateable people in there, you know. Yeah.
And talking about reality shows, look, we are starting a new one next week.
That's right. Lovers and Liars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a renamed show because originally it was supposed to be called F-Girl Island, which if anybody saw F-Boy Island, it was about, what, a woman who has to pick between all these F-boys, and if she picks the wrong one, supposedly she loses, but... inevitably, she didn't lose, if you've ever seen that show.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the F-boy didn't win. And so this is supposed to be the reverse of that, right? Where it's a bunch of F-girls, and a guy has to pick out of them. But they didn't want to call it that for some reason, so they're calling it Lovers and Liars.
I have no idea why they changed the name. We will talk about that next week. But we have to say that... the episode we are covering next week came out yesterday, but the next episode is coming on Thursday? Is that right?
Oh, I think it's Thursday, not this Thursday, but Thursday next week.
No, the Thursday after we're doing the podcast, yes.
Is that... let me look it up. I had it here somewhere.
I have a strange feeling that is what we discovered.
Thursday, April 11th. So it's not tomorrow, but the next week on Thursday, right?
Yeah. So it's going to be weekly after that. So we're going to follow the calendar, and that fits us perfectly.
It ends up working out, but the first week we're going to be a week behind, and then after that, everything will be weekly. Right? Exactly.
Exactly.
Here says the series, now that I've looked it up, I guess, the series sees three single men on a tropical island and must determine which of 24 women are there for love or for cash in order to win $100,000. So there's three singles? I thought it was just one in the F-Boy.
No, it was three in F-Boy Island as well.
Okay, maybe I don't remember that show very well. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess reality shows that are about ridiculous things, they are coming with a MILF Manor Season 2, I heard yesterday. So good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. They released the cast list, which there was like a big surprise in the beginning of episode one. So how are they going to surprise them this time? That's kind of an interesting thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe they call it something else. Like they
trick
they
them.
Think they are on that and another dating show, and then they trick them.
You're actually dating your sons. They're going to do it all over again. Yeah.
Right.
Or this time it's like really old ladies who are like grandmas, and you're dating your grandson.
Gilf.
Yeah.
Gilf. Yeah. Gilf Island.
That's what's going to happen next.
Yeah, because they did The Bachelor, The Fox.
The Golden Bachelor, yeah.
The Golden Bachelor, yes.
Why not do the Gilfs next? Gilf yes. Island.
Gilf Island. That would be my kind of show.
Home Improvement, was that your kind of show when you were a kid? I loved Home Improvement as a child.
I loved Home Improvement, yeah.
I mean, other than the Jonathan Taylor Thomas was like the crush of all my middle school girlfriends. But other than that, Home Improvement star Patricia...
Pamela Anderson was mine, so I don't complain.
Actually, the girl who replaced Pamela Anderson was also a crush of mine. She was a very attractive lady.
Nobody remembers that this is actually Pamela Anderson's like
first show.
Breakthrough show.
Didn't they, in the documentary we saw, they like skipped over it completely and acted like it didn't even exist?
Yeah, they totally over it, yeah.
Right, because they didn't
and we were like, what about Home Improvement?
It was because they had a story going where it was like she was downtrodden, she was having a hard time until finally Baywatch saved her, but they just skipped over Home Improvement.
Yeah, that's entirely
true. Right. Well, it was to make the story more compelling, is what it was. Because if they would have pointed out she had a 2-year run on, like, the biggest TV show ever, that would have ruined the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Patricia Richardson, star of Home Improvement, responds to Tim Allen's comments about a possible revival. So Tim Allen had come out and said it was going to happen. When she appeared on the Back to Best podcast, Richardson brutally responded to his claims. According to Richardson, Allen never spoke to her or any of the other cast about a revival or a reboot. Meanwhile, she talked to Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who confirmed Allen hadn't spoke to him either. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is he lying about it, I guess, is the point.
I mean, because we're talking about it.
To get the, like, word out there, and then maybe somebody, like, if you get the hype going, then somebody will be like, exactly. Oh, maybe we should do that. Because they have redone Boy Meets World with Girl Meets World. They did the...
iCarly.
What was the other one? The ABC show. It was Full House. Fuller House.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there's a track
Fuller
record
House
of this happening.
So much better. Oh, my God.
The problem is Tim Allen has, like, a very controversial past also, though, so...
No, you don't say, do you?
I don't know if they want to be... I can see them bringing back the show and not having Tim Allen on it. Yeah.
Mm. So, look, who's Ronna McDaniel?
Remember after the 2020 election when there was that big group of people that came out, including that one woman who was sued by the election ballot people for saying that the election was stolen? Remember all of that happening after the 2020... Ronna McDaniel was the RNC committee chair at the time, and was standing there up on stage denying the election at the time. And so, of course, 2 days, or NBC News decided to hire her.
That's not controversial.
Right, and so people were like, wait, you're hiring an election denier? And not only that, like the former head of the RNC. But then 2 days after that, NBC News reversed the decision to hire her, and one employee said there's no clear internal consensus on who people are mad at more, her or the people who hired her. Right.
Yeah. And I think I would be more mad at her, but that's...
They tried to defend it for, like, 24 hours, being like, oh, well, this is, she's just going to be on NBC, not on MSNBC. Like, that was going to be better for some reason.
Why is that better?
I don't know why. But, yeah, they were trying to defend it in the sense that, like, we're trying to be fair and balanced, bro. We have to show all sides of the coin. And it's like, this woman was practically sued for saying shit about the election... the voting machines being rigged and things like that. So why would you want to put somebody like that on your network who is a proven liar? But then again, they do that kind of stuff all the time, I suppose.
If you want to read a book about the proven liar, where would you go?
You go to audibletrial.com/ADC. That's audibletrial.com/ADC. Get a free 30-day trial of Audible and a free audio media of some type. Keep the book and the audiobook and cancel any time, and it helps us out.
Okay, it's Eurovision time, and as I said last week in the end of the show, we're doing the A countries this week. We're doing Austria, Azerbaijan, and Armenia. Let's start with Austria. It is Kate Lane with We Will Rave. What did you think about this song, Luke?
Yeah, speaking of throwback, like, nostalgia stuff, this was definitely trying to be, like, a late 90s kind of, not only in the beat style, but kind of the music video itself felt like...
The music video was so 90s.
Late 90s Euro pop video. It is very...
Nothing wrong with that.
I think it's hilarious, actually, because, like...
Yeah.
The more you look at it, the more you go, what are they doing there? Like, why would this woman be in a random empty warehouse with these men with sledgehammers and no shirts? Like, what is the, like, what business is being taken place at this facility? The more you think about that, the funnier it gets, actually.
Yeah, and what is that classic car doing there?
Right, well, that's what, they're building cars, I guess, bro. That's exactly what they're doing in this factory with no shirts on and sledgehammers, is building classic cars.
But it's not a bad song, it's just very dated. I think it will do okay. I'm not sure if it will qualify or not.
I don't think it's probably going to qualify.
This year is so fucking filled with good songs. I don't think so either, but I will give it a 2.5.
That low? Okay. I was going to give it a 5.5. I like the I like this style of, like, old school house, though. I thought the very last, there was a beat that dropped maybe three quarters of the way through that was kind of a heavier kind of drum and bass beat that they brought in, but it was a little too late. I thought they should have made that kind of go through the rest of the song more, and it could have been better. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some controversy. Ole Alexander, other competitors reject call to boycott Israel. Over participation.
The Britain's Eurovision competitor, Ollie Alexander, and several other entrants have signed, what do they say? An open letter. Maxime Peek and an author, Sarah Schulman, were among the list of more than 450 queer artists, individuals, and organizers who signed an open letter as Queers for Palestine, calling on Alexander, the former year singer, to pull out of the contest with solidarity. Okay, so then he signed a letter with his competitors stating their belief in the unifying power of music, enabling people to transcend differences and foster meaningful conversations and connections. Okay, so who did he sign this with? It's down here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bambi Tag from Ireland, Gota from Norway, Yolanda from Poland, Macarona from San Marino, Nemo from Czechia, Sabar from Denmark, Sylvester from Lithuania, and Windows 95, the man from Finland.
Okay, In the light of the current situation in the occupying territories, in particular Gaza, we do not feel comfortable being silent. It is important to us to stand in solidarity with the oppressed and communicate our heartfelt wish for peace and immediate lasting ceasefire and a safe return of all hostage, the letter stated. But that they believe in the power of music. So, okay.
And I have still not decided if we're going to cover Israel's song or not. I guess you will wait and see.
I guess we wait and see.
Maybe we will not.
I kind of feel like this is a little bit of a PR move in that they're hedging their bets in, like, yeah, we want to compete, but at the same time we want to say, like, we support both sides, kind of. Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's talk about my biggest disappointment of this week, because I always dig Azerbaijan. They always come with something good and fun. This was not good or fun. It's Farah featuring Ilkan Duvlov with Oslo Roller Apar.
Yeah, that is what it's called, isn't it? It felt very much like a song that could be remixed and could be great. Like, yes. If you made a remix of that song, it would be awesome. Like, this is a song that you would have on a record for a DJ to mix with another song. But
exactly.
It's got a nice downbeat to it. It definitely feels culturally, because it's got, like, the, what do you call that chanting, that they have this backup singer who, it's not a singer, it's a chant, which I like that about it. And that adds to, like, the remixability of it also. But the song itself is a really down tempo, so it's not going to, like, catch the crowd very much. And performance-wise, not a lot happening. No dancing. Like, they're just going to be standing there.
Yeah, this is not going to qualify.
I don't think so either.
Any fucking chance in hell. This is just too Debbie Downer. But I liked it, actually, okay-ish. I give it a 3.5.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Hard House remix of this, because that will actually be a good song.
Okay, what's your score?
Oh, yeah, this is probably a 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we have gotten the semifinals running order. Norway is in semifinal 2, next to last. I think that will do us good. What will not do us so good is that the Netherlands is right after us, and that is the best fucking song this year. But
that's a little rough, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But that whole thing, I think semifinal 1 would have done us better. But yeah. Anything interesting that you find here?
Well, Israel is also right before you. You're kind of sandwiched in a rock and a hard place situation.
Yeah.
Not really. Everything else looks pretty standard. Yeah. Nothing super interesting.
No. I agree. But if you're interested in that, you can go to EurovisionWorld.com and see the running order.
May 7th and May 9th, first and second. Yeah.
And we are, of course, going to cover the grand final. That is the 11th of May. Last song is Armenia. It's Lada Niva with Yako. This is going to qualify. Oh, what a fun little song.
It's just like, it's a repeating song, so they don't really, like, there's not a whole lot to it, but
no,
there's, like, a chant to it that's gonna get the crowd engaged, right?
Yeah. So, it's such what I will call audience anticipation song, especially with a la-la-la-la-la-la, and also when she, like, in the song itself, ask the audience to repeat what she is singing.
Right.
It reminds me of the song from the Jungle Book. I want to be like you.
Okay, I don't get that, but sure.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, and the other thing is she's super high energy dancer, at least. Yeah. This is a music video, but that's what I'm expecting on stage.
Yes.
The one thing that is weird, because it's a music video, we have the guy who's the musician. He's both playing a ukulele and a trumpet at the same time. How do you do that live? Is the problem. Yeah. Right? So I am expecting him to either switch back and forth or do mostly trumpet, because he is mostly... I think the trumpet was more prevalent in the song. Yeah.
But I love this. This is so fucking Eurovision. I really, really dig this. I think this will do good. I think this will actually do tremendous. I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm actually less convinced that it's going to do amazing than you. I mean, it's a fun song, and I can understand the crowd interaction. I just feel like some people are going to think it's a little basic. So I'm going to give it a 6. Yeah.
Okay. I love that we're sort of friends on this.
Okay.
Coming next week, we will talk news of the week, TV of the week. Trond tells the truth about something, probably. What was the TV show we were going to do again?
Oh, right. Lovers and Liars, episode 1.
Lovers and Liars.
Which came out yesterday, so if you're hearing this, it's already out. Yeah.
We will do a Eurovision review. We will do Cyprus, Greece, and Moldova. Because they are very close to each other.
Okay.
I don't know if Moldova is close to Greece and Cyprus. I know that Greece and Cyprus is next to each other.
I definitely know. Moldova. Where is Moldova?
Yeah.
I can look that up.
Where Moldova is? It's like, I don't really know.
It's got to be in Eastern Europe somewhere. It's in Europe. We know that. Yeah.
Well, we don't really know that, Australia.
Oh, yeah. That's true. It is, like, nowhere near Greece. Yeah.
Or Cyprus.
It's next to Ukraine. It's like in between Ukraine and Romania.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. No. Well, we haven't done them yet. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, Greece and Cyprus always give each other 12 points. So that will be interesting to talk about next week. Okay. German round. I have listened to some music this week. I don't know if you have heard this thing, but there come out a new Beyonce album with actually like country songs.
Country. I see what you mean. Okay. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Eurovision, so I was like thinking she was doing songs from different countries, but you mean like country album. Okay.
That would be fun.
That would be more interesting than a country album, honestly, but...
Yeah. A song about different countries, yeah.
No, I was thinking like in different styles. Like each song is in a style of a different country.
That would also be fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, we think of different things when we talk about that.
Okay.
It has gotten fucking amazing reviews. I loved it. Really, really good. I will give it a 9 out of 10, actually.
A country album. All right. I somehow haven't heard about that. Ye or Kanye, apparently he's in a lawsuit with an ex-employee of the Donda Academy. Do you know what the Donda Academy is?
Yes.
It was like his youth brainwashing school for his cult, I think. Ye compared himself to Hitler and appeared to simulate masturbation in one meeting in Southern California hotel while he watched Batman on mute. The 47-page lawsuit says.
Of course he did.
During a meeting, he also alleged he expressed wanting to shave students' heads and lock them in cages, according to the lawsuit.
Of course!
Right. So, yeah, he wasn't trying to be a cult leader at all. He's definitely not trying to be a cult leader whatsoever. That guy is not crazy and trying to run a cult or anything. That's not what's happening, is what I said.
No, not him.
Yep.
Did you see the sad thing from Umpawil about Liver King?
I didn't watch it yet. I saw that he put out the video, but what did he say?
Well, he has really downgraded and became fat now, and like he's like totally just lost it.
Well, when you stop doing steroids, if that's what he did, then that's going to happen. If you stop doing all the trucks. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, if you keep working out, I guess it could maintain, but it's not going to be the same exactly, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the Princess Kate thing, Fro. Did mm-hmm. you see this?
I did. I'm a Russian.
Social media accounts linked to prominent Russian disinformation campaigns were capitalizing on the conspiracy theories about Princess Kate. However, it's clear malicious foreign involvement of the Kategate conspiracy. Researchers at Security, Crime and Intelligence Innovation Institute in Cardiff University in Wales, you could probably shorten that a little bit, guys, were quick to point out that these actors were not responsible for originating rumors and conspiracy theories surrounding the princess. Okay.
No, because that was me.
But they were happy to... There were Russians using it to sow discord from.
Yes, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm really Russian.
Yeah.
We were definitely talking about it, so maybe we are.
I mean, I am.
It means everybody else in the media that was talking about it also possibly could be Russian.
Well, you need to blame everything on Russians, remember?
That's true.
The Havana Syndrome.
PD getting taken down. There's the Russians.
That's really not me. Yes, exactly. Yeah, tell me about PD.
I mean, we talked about it last week, and he still hasn't been arrested as far as I know.
No.
But there was a video that came out of his... From, what, body cameras or something? Of them searching his house, and his children were arrested, as well as a lot of other people on the premises. Not arrested, but handcuffed and detained, I should say. And they were young kids, so that was kind of crazy. I do think the, like, amount of force that they went into those houses with was nuts, but I don't know what they knew that we didn't know either, so.
Yeah. I don't know what I think about this. I just think it's so fucking strange.
The big thing this week is that J-Lo is now, like, super involved in it, which we talked... It's funny because we talked about this and J-Lo last week, but not in the same context. Week, yeah. But now there's, like, this whole thing that she was a gun mule and brought a gun to him that actually was used to kill somebody in a nightclub. So that that's pretty crazy.
I felt the wind of old days going over me this week when I saw PewDiePie showing Jacksepticeye memes and do a laugh you lose challenge. That was fun.
It was super fun. I mean, the only difference between that and like old school PewDiePie Jacksepticeye videos was that it's 25 minutes long. Because that's, like, the new standard for videos, but, like, that's the only difference. It definitely nostalgia, for sure.
I loved it.
Did you see Lizzo saying she's going to quit? We don't know
the
what.
The music industry?
She's just going to quit. She didn't say what she's going to quit. I think she was more saying, I quit, as in, like, not, like, I'm going to actually... I give up on everything, basically. I quit life kind of idea. But everybody was like, is she quitting music? Is she going to stop making music? Mm. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But she definitely is not a good person, according to lawsuits. And then she did, like, a presidential thing. So not only were Republicans mad at her for doing a Democrat... Democrat fundraiser, which was with Bill Clinton and Obama, then all the people who are supporting Palestine were mad at her because Joe Biden was also there. So everybody was mad at Lizzo this week.
Cool. I wasn't mad at her, so that's not entirely true.
Okay. Well, at least she's got you.
Yeah. I got you, babe.
She did still abuse her employees, according to lawsuits, allegedly. But, yeah.
Allegedly?
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything else.
I got some interesting conspiracy. Have you heard there's going to be an eclipse here in the U.S. and that there's all these conspiracies? About the eclipse, and it's like going to be the end times. And for some reason, they're locking down prisons, and people aren't going to school that day. And so people are like, "Oh my God, it's going to be the end times," and the government knows something we don't know. And the government's just saying, "Well, if people are driving, we don't want them to hit like school kids." Because it's going to happen right when school gets out. And so if school was in, people would be, like, looking up in the sky, like, what's going on? Trying to drive their car and, like, hit a kid, I guess. But it made a ton of conspiracies around the country of, like, it's the end times and the government knows something's going to happen. It's pretty funny.
Mm. Okay, Dragon's Dogma 2 is a weird game. That is what I'm going to say.
All right, and Bingo XP is back. Season one, not back, but season one of Bingo XP. Go check out Brutal Moose. All right, that's all I had.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. 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 Citizen.